Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which are in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which had been taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Such is the reading of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now this event in the life of Christ is familiar to Bible students. It shows the greatness of the Lord and his miraculous power, and that he was a master at teaching and illustrating his teaching. But we're going to primarily concern ourselves with one statement of Jesus, launch out into the deep. Of course, his instruction was that Peter take the boat into deeper water, and there would be a great catch of fish. And such was the result. There are great meanings to us, even in the Lord's use of this illustration and demonstration. Many people are inclined to follow one of two extremes regarding religious activity. Some are often so careful and cautious, afraid of making a mistake, that they do nothing or almost nothing. They hold back from doing the good that they can and should do. But on the other hand, some are so reckless and careless and ungoverned by the Word of God that they do almost anything, whether it's authorized of God or not. To them, being active is not just an essential part of serving God, it's just about the whole thing. Be busy regardless of what you're doing. Well, God's people are not given to such extremes either way. Oh, they try to be careful, but not careless. They want to do right and be right, but be busy in the Lord's business. In doing what is right, and doing it in the right way, and for the right purpose, that is the mission of the child of God. And we need to be impressed that Christ expects his people to be doers, not just hearers, James 1 and verse 22. Now these fishermen that Jesus approached were people of action. In fact, they had been working all night, and with little success, and they were discouraged. But the Lord persuaded them to get involved in doing some more. They needed to launch out and to be active once again. Friend, we must remember that there is a difference between busyness and really doing the Lord's business. May we present at least three things that we must keep in mind? Number one, the Christian is alert. He's not dead. He's not asleep or lazy or indigent. He is attentive. He's keenly aware. Paul admonished the brethren in Ephesus, Awake thou that sleepest, Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Nobody can do what God wants done if they are not alert and if they are not active. What are some of the characteristics of a congregation that is awake? You will find most, if not all, of the members active in Bible study. Families include their children and bring, not just send, to their children to Bible study. And they'll be on time, and they'll participate in the studies, and they'll sing fervently and with enthusiasm. Their contributions are sincerely given and possibly growing in amount week by week. And there's a good attendance on Sunday evening as well as Sunday morning. And they have a busy mission program, watchful for every opportunity to spread the Word of God by every means available and within their capacity to utilize. Each member is striving to be more and more like Jesus in every affair of life, And when there's a congregation of people like that, you have an alert congregation. And as we keep busy, we must be progressive. Every organization either progresses or it grows stale and stagnant, whether it's a business or a club or a congregation. And that which does not grow becomes stymied in its strength. But there's a vast difference, friend, between being progressive and being digressive. And we dare not confuse the two. We can, if we're not careful, progress beyond the doctrine of Christ and lose our souls, 2 John 9-11. And that's not real progression, that's digression. Seeking a new message, wanting a new gospel, that's not making progress. Leaving the old paths for new ground of the wisdom of men, that's digression, that's not progression. Some get carried away with something new and are not sufficiently concerned about whether it's authorized and true to God's will or not. But Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples," John 8 and verse 31. But to leave his word is to digress. And many digressive steps have been taken through the years under the guise of making progress. There has been an alteration of the message to accommodate for the innovation of methods. We're to press onward and go forward, but we have to be sure we're going in the right direction. And as we are active, we also must be militant and aggressive. Dear listening friend, it is our duty to press the attack against all evil and for all righteousness. We're soldiers of Christ, our captain. We're to put on the armor of spiritual warfare and fight the good fight of faith with fervor and determination. Our adversary is the devil. The battleground is the heart of man. And the victory is man's conversion to and faithfulness in Christ. And we're not to be fearful, Hebrews 13:6, but to give the warfare our full and complete effort. We must be ready to go on the offensive as well as to be set for the defense of the gospel. Alert, progressive, aggressive, these are characteristics of those who follow Christ. Now you'll please note that Christ told Peter to launch out into the deep. They had been in shallow water, and there had been no catch. Many times, friend, we stay too close to shore to catch the souls that can be won for Christ. Every congregation had its beginning at some time, and there were obstacles and problems in getting started. There was much work involved. The seed was sown. With great faith and hope and love, the congregation launched out in its mission of service to God and man. And sometimes it's more difficult to keep something going than it is to just get something started. But once the work is started, opportunity and labor awaits those involved. The gospel is to be preached. The lost must hear and be persuaded to be saved. The saved must be grounded and strengthened and firmly rooted, and all need to be taught and instructed. The physical needs for which the church is obligated must be met. The sick and bereaved need comforting. The hungry need food. And those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness need to learn of the bread of life and the water of life, which is Christ. With millions of this world living and dying, lost and doomed, there is the work of taking Christ to the world. That's the work of the church. This is that which God demands and expects of the church. God is looking to each congregation, with its elders and deacons and preachers and teachers and every member of the body, to be fishers of men. This can seldom, if ever, be accomplished by hovering in safety close to the shore. Launching out into the deep carries with it a spirit of adventure and challenge. Hearts pound with anticipation when the needy are relieved, and souls are taught and brought to Christ, and brethren are fortified and restored. Davy Crockett, he was a pioneer with a spirit of adventure. He did exciting things. Well, the Christian life is an exciting life because of that which one does for Christ. And let us not be confused, however, to think that just because we're doing something that's exciting, that we're necessarily doing what the Lord wants done. I recall a teacher of young people telling them one time they ought to get excited at church like they do at a ball game. Oh, friend, he missed the point badly. Worship is not a time to arouse emotions and turn people on and provoke excitement. People can get excited and still be far amiss from doing what they ought to for God. But when one is doing what God has taught to be done, this is an exciting adventure. Pray tell me, what should stir the heart of a child of God any more than seeing a precious soul that shall exist in all eternity? What's more wonderful than seeing that soul converted to Christ, renouncing sin, renouncing Satan, giving himself to that which is holy and right? And what greater thrill is there to have had a part in that person's conversion? Jesus set forth the challenge, "Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Dear friend, we need to launch out into the effort just as Peter did when he was told to take his boat into deeper water. Now, Peter was not told to be content just to push out a few feet. This he did to provide the Lord a pulpit from which to speak, but to catch fish, he had to launch out into the deep. And this took some risk. It took some effort. It took a lot of determination, plus obedience. Now, many churches have launched out into the deep, but some become satisfied and content with past accomplishments and withdraw their nets. No congregation can rest on its laurels, dream of the past, reflect on the old battles that they won, and gaze on the trophies of former victories, and keep growing and doing. We have the opportunity today that we did not have yesterday. And we'll have opportunities tomorrow that we don't have today. We must lay hold on every one of them and proceed with caution and with authority through every open door. To successfully accept the challenge to launch out into the deep, we must have faith. Faith in God. Faith in our mission. Even faith in ourselves. We must stand as did Paul, ready to preach the gospel. We find no place for the foot dragger, for those who want to hold back for fear, for those who refuse to cooperate, and those who will be willing to obstruct. Making sure first that all stand together on solid ground of revealed truth, then we must get busier than ever before, seizing every opportunity, working together with God's help, and there can be souls in heaven that otherwise would not be there. The name of God can be glorified that otherwise would never have occurred. But who will accept that challenge? Who will launch out in confidence and obedience to follow the instructions of the Lord? Will it be me? Or you? Or do we wait for another? Peter, even though he was tired, he was ready to do what the Lord said simply because the Lord told him to do it. And when we have that same submissive attitude and that same respect for Christ, we too will launch out into the deep in search of the lost, knowing, talking, thinking, doing the will of God from the heart. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.